Do you know every flower has its own language? No? You don't know it? What is the language of roses? Yes, yes, it's love. What about lilies? Purity, yes, purity. And fertility. What about bamboo? Bamboo. What is it? bamboo is pandas, right? It's dignity. Dignity and endurance. People also have adjectives that describe them, right? Some are known for being smart. Some for being funny, some for being greedy, and some for being versatile. Like now take a moment to think about someone sitting next to you and come up with an adjective that describes them. Try it. One adjective. What did he say? Okay, now look at me and try to give me an adjective. Bold? Old? Oh. It would be great if I could see your thoughts about me like, you know, comic book. speech bubble. You know. Even Jesus' disciples were labeled with adjectives. Who do you think of as a leader of the disciples? Peter, yes, Peter. What about a betrayer? Judas, yes, Judas. Now, what adjective would you associate with Thomas? Doubting. For over 2,000 years, whenever Thomas has been mentioned, he's been called Doubting Thomas. That's what we were taught in Sunday school, right? Thomas was labeled as doubting. And we were warned not to become like him. We are taught that if you doubt, you lack faith. That doubt equals unbelief. But is Thomas really such a person? And does doubt really mean lack of faith? Well, don't be surprised. The phrase Doubting Thomas doesn't appear in the Bible. Those who doubt, can you check the Bible in the pew? If you have a Bible app, you can search on your phone. The word doubt doesn't even come up. It looks like you are doubting me. Actually, the disciple who is often associated with doubt is not Thomas, but Peter. You know the story of Jesus walking on water. Peter asked to walk on the water and began to do so. But then he began to sink. Jesus reached out his hand and rescued him and saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" The reason Thomas was called a doubter might be because what he said in verse 25. Let's read it together. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put your finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." doubt often has a negative connotation. It is natural to find it hard to believe without seeing the risen Jesus. Thomas just wanted confirmation, not disbelief. I see Thomas' expression as curiosity rather than doubt. Doubt is believing what you think without evidence, as in a criminal investigation. Curiosity, on the other hand, is about wanting to know the unknown. Thomas was simply curious. Jesus, recognizing Thomas' curiosity, says in verse 27, let's read it together. Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe. Please show us the picture on the screen. This is a drawing of this scene by Caravaggio in 1602. As we look at Thomas putting his finger into the wound in Jesus' side, you may ask, did he really have to do that? It's such a heartbreaking act. But here's the kicker. The image is a created sin. It's an interpretation. Look again at your today's reading. Does it say that Thomas actually put his finger in the wound? No, he didn't. This is a turning point in this story of Thomas. We've been taught that Thomas believed because he touched Jesus' wounds. This said led to the misconception that he was called Doubting Thomas. This is a glaring example of how we distort Scripture. There is no mention of Thomas putting his finger in Jesus' side. That's our misunderstanding. We've labeled Thomas as a bad person, as someone who lacks faith. The concept of labeling someone is really frightening. When we label someone like Doubting Thomas, it blinds us to their potential value and the hidden gifts they possess. For over 2,000 years, we've labeled Thomas as Doubting Thomas, and we've missed his true essence. If you've been labeling the person next to you with a single adjective all this time, I encourage you to erase that label. Instead, let's compliment and support them for their hidden potential, for the latent gifts they possess. It would be wonderful if our church could become such a place where we don't judge others based on just one single incident, but instead treat each other with respect and awaken each other's latent abilities. In the spirit, please say to the next person, the person next to you, I am sorry. I didn't see your potential. Like many of us, our first impressions of Thomas were not favorable because of our preconceptions of him as a doubting disciple. But he wasn't driven by doubt. He was driven by a curiosity to know Jesus more deeply. when Jesus invited Thomas to put his finger in his wounds, followed by the words, "No more disbelief, believe." How did Thomas respond? Without physically putting his finger in, he responded in verse 28. Let's read it together. Thomas responded to Jesus. He confesses his faith. And it's a deep faith. To confess Jesus as Lord and even as God is an amazing confession of faith. How could Thomas, often misunderstood as a doubter, make such a profound confession? Though not stated in scriptures, we can imagine a little speculation. The other disciples did not witness Jesus' death on the cross. They fled. They knew about the nailing of the hands to the cross, but they wouldn't have known about being pierced in the side with a spear. It was only after Jesus appeared to them, after his resurrection, that they learned about it. Thomas, however, already knew that Jesus had been pierced in the side, as mentioned in verse 25. Even though he hadn't seen the risen Jesus, he knew this fact. How did he know? Thomas knew because he had watched Jesus' crucifixion scene. While the other disciples were afraid and ran away, Thomas, with a bold love for Jesus, stood by his side during his crucifixion. So when the other disciples told him that Jesus had risen and appeared to them, he wanted to confirm that there was indeed a wound in his side. When Jesus appeared to Thomas, he didn't have to put his finger in the wound. He already knew it was him. That's why he could confess, "My Lord and my God." This confession is much deeper than Peter's confession, which is the most famous confession in the gospel. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. But Thomas confesses that his Lord is God himself. Since the one who created the world and gave life is God, Thomas came to believe that the one who rose from death to new life is also God. Although not included in the Bible, Thomas wrote his confession of faith in the Gospel of Thomas. If Jesus' life had ended in death, such a confession and book by Thomas would not have appeared. It's a confession made possible by Jesus' resurrection, an experience of Jesus as the source of life, who is God himself. My Lord and my God. May Thomas' confession become the confession of all of us. Now Jesus speaks. Let's read verse 29 together. Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." This statement may sound like a rebuke to Thomas, urging him to believe. However, Thomas had already made a deep confession of faith. So the object of these words should not be Thomas, but the countless people without faith, including us. Only a few people experienced the resurrection directly. Yet, Christianity has lasted for 2,000 years because of the faith of those who believe without seeing. It's because of the community of faith in the resurrection, the community of life that has emerged despite not seeing. Without curiosity, our faith cannot grow. Without questions, we cannot grasp deep truth. Rather than blindly believing in a faith that is not understood, let us, like Thomas, approach the truth with curiosity and delve into it, moving toward a more mature faith. Let us pray. Risen Lord, grant us the resurrection faith to confess, like Thomas, my Lord and my God. May we live not in the resurrection faith of the past, but in the resurrection faith of the present. Awakening each other's latent worth, discovering each other's gifts, and making this moment here and now a kingdom of God, where the new life of the resurrection flourishes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.